courts and girlfriends, luxury hotels and rental properties, exotic cars, clothing, and other items of a personal nature. After 5 years of investigating with no new evidence and 2 years after Hunter Biden paid his taxes in full, the U.S. attorney has piled on 9 new charges when he had agreed just months ago to resolve this matter with a pair of misdemeanors. Hunter Biden's attorney, Abby Lowell, said in a statement. The statement added, I wrote U.S. Attorney David Weiss days ago seeking a customary meeting to discuss this investigation. The response was media leaks today that these charges were being filed. The charges come amid an effort by House Republicans to link President Joe Biden to his son's business dealings as part of an impeachment inquiry, though the inquiry has produced no evidence so far that Joe Biden took any action as president or vice president to corruptly enrich his family.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details. And now we enlighten you with Ayah 35 to 37 of Surah Ali Imran, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dhurriyatan ba'dhuha min ba'din wallahu samiyun 'alim. إذ قالت امرأة عمران رب إني نذرت لك ما في بطني محررا فتقبل مني إنك أنت السميع العليم فلما وضعتها قالت رب إني وضعتها أنثى والله أعلم بما وضعت وليس الذكر كالأنثى وإني سميتها مريم وإني أعيذها بك وذريتها من الشيطان الرجيم فتقبلها ربها بقبول حسن وأنبتها نباتا حسنا وكفلها زكريا كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا قالت هو من عند الله إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب.
In the name of Allah, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. When the wife of Imran said, My Lord, dedicate to you what is in my belly in consecration, accept it from me. Indeed, you are the All-Hearing, the All-Knowing. And when she bore her, she said, My Lord, I have borne a female child, and Allah knew better what she had borne. And the female is not like the male. I've named it Mary, and I commend her and her offspring to your care against evil of the outcast Satan. Thereupon her Lord accepted her with a gracious acceptance and made her grow up in a worthy fashion, and he charged Zechariah with her care. Whenever Zechariah visited her in the sanctuary, he would find provision with her. He said, O Mary, from where does this come for you? She said, It comes from Allah. Allah provides whomever He wishes without any reckoning.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iran's leader slams the U.S. for shamelessly vetoing a U.N. resolution on the Gaza ceasefire and says that the U.S., the U.K., and the Israeli regime are the same. On Christmas weekend, more people demand an immediate ceasefire to stop the ongoing U.S.-Israeli genocide against Palestinians. Also in the headlines, Palestinian resistance fighters kill another 8 Israeli occupation troops in Gaza. Nearly 160 Israeli soldiers have been killed during the Gaza invasion so far. Well, welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has lashed out at the U.S. for blocking a U.N. Security Council resolution on the establishment of a ceasefire in Gaza. Ayatollah Sayyidi Khamenei added the U.S. has been disgraced as the Israeli war on Gaza helped to expose the true face of the Western civilization. He said the Palestinians' great victory lies in the fact that they debunked the West and the U.S.'s false claim of being human rights advocates. Ayatollah Khamenei underlined that there is no difference between the Israeli regime, the United States, and Britain, as they are all one and the same. He said there is no doubt that one day the Israeli regime will be wiped off the face of the earth. Meanwhile, Israel keeps pounding the besieged Gaza Strip, where every new airstrike and shelling further worsens the humanitarian situation. According to Gaza officials, more than 200 people were killed in the past day. The latest attacks targeted the southern city of Khan Yunis and the northern city of Jabalia. Israel's genocidal war in Gaza is now in its 79th day. The total death toll stands at nearly 20,300. Also, nearly 54,000 people have been injured. The majority of the victims are women and children. Those who have survived the war are living in dire conditions. The World Health Organization has renewed warnings that famine is looming in the Palestinian territory. Palestinian resistance groups have launched new missile attacks at Israeli towns and military bases in retaliation for the regime's onslaught in the Gaza Strip. The Al-Quds Brigades, the military wing of the Islamic Jihad, said it carried out several major counterattacks against invading Israeli forces. They fired mortar shells at gatherings of Israeli forces in various parts of Gaza. They also hit a Merkava tank with a tandem missile in northern Gaza Strip. The Al-Qassam brigades also targeted Israeli tanks and armored vehicles across Gaza. In a major operation, they blew up a booby-trapped tunnel after Israeli special forces entered it and later fired shells at a rescue team, leaving casualties. They also destroyed five Israeli tanks using two unexploded Israeli rockets in the Jabalia al-Balad area. Our correspondent Muti Abu Masaba joins us from Deir al-Balah to tell us about the latest developments there in the Gaza Strip. Well, Muti, it's all yours. Tell us in particular, however, the fighting that's going on between the Israeli regime forces and the resistance fighters.
The Palestinian people, particularly the Palestinian civilians here in the middle area of Gaza Strip, as at least 40 Palestinian civilians, mostly women and children, were brought to the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital. And while there are still dozens of the Palestinian civilians are still trapped in the rubble or under the rubble of their houses destroyed by the Israeli warplanes, so we are talking about continuous airstrikes. And according to the Gaza government media office, that the number of the Palestinian civilians climbed to more than 20,250 Palestinian civilians, in addition to more than 7,000 Palestinian civilians are still trapped under the rubble. So we are talking about continuous massacres. At least 1,720 massacres were committed against the Palestinian people, and these massacres are still continuous, which means that the numbers of the Palestinian martyrs and the Palestinian casualties are still climbing with the time. So this is the current situation. It's the same. It's the same situation that the Israeli occupation keep shedding the blood of the Palestinian people. On the other hand, according to the Israeli army and according to the Israeli journal, Yediot Ahronot, that the Israeli forces on the ground face a fierce resistance on all levels of fight, that at least 8 Israeli officers and soldiers were killed last night by the Palestinian resistance after they carried out multiple operations and gunfight with the Israeli occupation forces. We are talking about continuous escalation taking place and erupting between the Palestinian resistance on the ground and the Israeli occupation forces.
Tell us more about, if you have information, the fighting that's going on between the resistance fighters and Israel. We understand that Israel has lost 9 of its soldiers based on the most recent statement coming from the Israeli military itself. And we understand that there's heavy clashes going on between them. Do you have information on what's happening there?
Yes, actually, maybe the most drastic operations are taking place these moments or over the last couple of hours in Johridik village, which is located in the middle area of Gaza Strip and the eastern parts of Gaza Strip to the north of Gaza, of the middle area of Gaza Strip. And according to the Palestinian resistance and to the Israeli occupation forces on the ground, that they face, I mean the Israeli soldiers, they face a fierce and drastic Palestinian resistance on the ground, as every day we can say that every day the Palestinian resistance carries out multiple operations and attacks against the Israeli occupation forces. We are talking about targeting the Israeli army, the Israeli vehicles, and the Israeli tanks with the tandem missiles and the projectiles. We are talking about gunfight between the Israeli forces on the ground and the Palestinian resistance members there. Let me say that over the last couple of hours, the resistance is highly intensified in this area. This means, or this doesn't mean that the other areas are not witnessing, and let me say, resistance operations. We are talking, and according to the Israeli army, that yesterday was horrific for them in Jabalia. We are talking about roughly 80 days of the continuous bombardment and bombing of those areas, and the Palestinian resistance are still till this moment fighting back against the Israeli army, against the Israeli soldiers in Jabalia refugee camp, in Khan Yunis city. All bivouacs of fire are witnessing a fierce resistance of the Palestinian people.
Thank you very much for that. Muti Abu Masaba, correspondent there from Deir al-Balah. Tehran has held an international conference on Palestine. In the opening remarks, Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi said the U.S. must be tried for the crimes committed against Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip.
The Zionist regime and the Americans must be put on trial on charges of crimes against humanity and act of genocide. They must be put on trial in an international tribunal, and they must be prosecuted in order to administer justice.
Raisi said the true face of the U.S. was uncovered in the course of the Israeli genocide in Gaza. The Iranian president said any resolution proposed at the U.N. Security Council to bring an end to the Israeli massacre in Gaza was vetoed by the U.S. Raisi said Washington has left no stones unturned to provide as much support to the Israeli regime as possible. The president noted that the Americans have the blood of Palestinian women and children on their hands. He noted that the Israeli-Gaza massacre unveiled the hypocritical nature of the U.S. Raisi further reiterated that the Palestinians have the right to self-defense, adding that the Islamic Republic has always stood and will continue to stand by the people of Palestine in their fight against the Israeli regime. We conducted an exclusive interview with Iran's foreign ministry spokesman, Nasser Kanani, about the significance of Tehran International Conference on Palestine. Kanani says the attendance by representatives from more than 60 countries shows that the world considers Palestine an important issue. Let's take a listen.
In line with the Islamic Republic of Iran's diplomatic efforts for taking action in order to put an end to the brutal aggression by the Zionist regime against the people of Gaza, the International Tehran Conference was organized, and representatives from more than 60 world countries have participated in this conference. The Islamic Republic of Iran, since the triumph of the Islamic Revolution, believed that the issue of Palestine is the topmost issue, the most important number one priority issue in the region and the world. And the Zionist regime is a threat to international peace and security. In the past 77 days, the crimes committed by the usurper Zionist regime is the naked violation of all international rules and human rights and international humanitarian law, and also is the violation of the four Geneva Conventions. So this indicates that the Islamic Republic of Iran's realization of the Israeli threat against international peace and security is a correct realization, and the world has come to the conclusion that the issue of Palestine is a top priority one. Importance must be attached to this issue. Representatives from more than 60 countries have participated in the Tehran Conference. This indicates that the world considers this as an important issue, and the issue of Palestine has managed to actually prove its importance with regard to international equations. This is an effort aimed at assisting the people of Palestine so as to terminate the oppressive war imposed by the Zionist regime. And the Palestinian nation must realize that the world is supporting them. And the other point is the lifting the tyrannical siege, transfer of and delivery of humanitarian aid, and that the Islamic Republic of Iran has always believed that the Palestinian people deserve determining their political fate.
Protests against Israel's genocide in Gaza have been continuing in the U.S. during the Christmas holiday weekend.
The American and Israeli government, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
We're in El Mayan, El Mayan!
Say it clear and say it loud!
Say it clear and say it loud!
Let's say you make us proud!
Protesters in New York City said that there should be no business and Christmas as usual while genocide is taking place in the Palestinian territory. They called on people to join the boycott and sanctions movement against Israel and its sponsors. It was one of several demonstrations across the U.S. on one of the busiest shopping days of the year. The U.S. is widely seen as playing a leading role in the atrocities committed in Gaza due to its military, financial, and military support for Israel. Washington provides nearly $4 billion in military assistance to Tel Aviv annually. The White House has also asked for an additional $14 billion for Israel from Congress. A new rally in support of Palestine has been held in Sydney ahead of Christmas festivities. Thousands gathered in the city center demanding an end to Israel's atrocities in Gaza.
On Saturday, about 2,000 people joined the protest in solidarity with besieged Palestinians in Sydney's iconic Hyde Park. The initiative, dubbed Stop the Genocide in Gaza, was organized by the Palestine Action Group, a Sydney-based activist formation committed to supporting Palestine and opposing the Israeli apartheid. Pro-Palestine rallies have been held weekly across all major Australian cities over the past 2.5 months. On its Facebook page, the Palestine Action Group presented Saturday's rally in Sydney by saying that Israel's genocidal campaign in Gaza continues with the complicity of the world's governments, especially the US and including Australia. During Saturday's rally in Sydney, which occurred a day earlier than usual, with organizers wanting to maximize numbers ahead of Christmas, protesters chanted slogans against the apartheid Israeli regime in Gaza and in the West Bank, calling for Australia to cut ties with Tel Aviv.
Earlier this week, more than 50 former and current lawmakers from the Labour Party, the ruling force at the national level in Australia, broke ranks calling for a rethink on policy towards Israel. The Australian political figures signed a letter condemning Israel's domination of Palestine and demanding Canberra recognize Palestine as a state.
On Saturday, a rally in support of Palestinians was also organized at Melbourne's State Library. Max Civili, Sydney.
Thousands of Israelis have once again held rallies against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for his failure to secure the release of captives in Gaza. The protesters were angry at Netanyahu's handling of the case. The demonstrators said that they want to exert more pressure on the cabinet to bring them back. The new protest came days after the Israeli military mistakenly killed 3 captives in Gaza. Several captives have also been killed in the regime's airstrikes on Gaza. The Hamas resistance movement said on Saturday that 5 more captives might have been killed in the attacks. According to the Israeli officials, 129 people are still being held by Hamas. Last month, more than 100 captives were released during a brief truce. The Israeli military has released the names of 8 soldiers killed in fresh fighting with Palestinian resistance forces in the Gaza Strip. They were killed in southern or central Gaza on Saturday. Israel says 152 of its troops have been killed since the start of the ground invasion of Gaza in October. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas, however, says the actual number is much higher and reports daily heavy blows to the regime's military. Israel has set out several objectives in launching its onslaught on Gaza, including dismantling Hamas militarily and releasing the captives in Gaza. However, none of those goals have been achieved so far. The once Ansarullah movement and the Saudi-backed fugitive government of Yemen have agreed to a new ceasefire as part of a peace initiative to end the 9-year war in the country. UN Special Envoy for Yemen said the agreement came after a meeting between representatives of the warring parties in Saudi Arabia. Hans Grüttenberg welcomed the development, saying that it sets the stage for an inclusive political process to end the war. The UN-brokered ceasefire first took effect in April 2022. The deal, which expired in October, has significantly reduced hostilities in Yemen. The country was invaded by a Saudi-led coalition in March 2015. The war has killed hundreds of thousands of people and has pushed Yemen into one of the world's worst humanitarian crises. Iran summons Russia's most senior diplomat to protest the contents of a joint statement issued by some Arab states and Moscow over the 3 Iranian islands in the Persian Gulf. The move comes after the joint statement challenged Iran's ownership over the islands, which are also claimed by the United Arab Emirates. Iran's foreign ministry said it relayed a strong protest to Russia's charged affairs over Moscow's repeated support for the baseless claims. It added that Iran rejects any claim from any side over the ownership of the islands as unacceptable, adding that they permanently belong to Iran. In a phone call with his Russian counterpart on Friday, Iran's foreign minister said that Tehran won't compromise with any side on its territorial integrity and sovereignty. And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
The whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
On Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure, from wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans. And I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime's genocidal war on Gaza has involved continuous attacks on the healthcare system. According to the World Health Organization, 24 out of Gaza's 36 hospitals were damaged between October 7th and December 7th. Because of the Zionist regime's attacks, more than 50 out of Gaza's 72 primary health facilities are no longer in service. The rest are only functioning partially. The Zionist regime has killed almost 300 Palestinian healthcare workers and abducted more than 40 in that period. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, "The middle area in Gaza is among the most densely populated parts of Palestine. Before the Zionist regime declared its latest war, the area had a few hundred thousand residents. After the Zionist regime ordered a mass evacuation from the northern half of Gaza, the middle area started to burst at the seams. The area hosts four main refugee camps, Deir al-Balah, Maghazi, Nusayrat, and Al-Buraj. Despite its large population, the area has only two hospitals, Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir al-Balah and Al-Auda Hospital in Nusayrat. Dr. Iyad al-Jabri, the director at Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital, is trying to provide the vital medical treatment under inhumane conditions," he said. "The number of beds at the entire hospital is only 177. There are now more than 600 with severe injuries at the hospital. Most of them are treated on the floor. Unfortunately, it is getting worse and worse. As well as caring for patients, the hospital has become a shelter for displaced people. By Al-Jabri's estimates, it hosts at least 5,000 people from the northern half of Gaza. It has come under further pressure because many residents of Khan Yunis region in the south have been told to evacuate by the Israeli regime military. Dr. Khaled Abu Khabel, an emergency doctor at Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital, noted that because of overcrowding, organizing patients into different categories cannot be done in the way it generally would," he said. "We are not only receiving people with war injuries, but we have many cases of lung diseases, gastroenteritis, sinus problems, inflammations, and diarrhea," he added. "This causes a huge chaos. We cannot cope with such a large number of cases." Al-Adwa Hospital is overcrowded too. Dr. Refat Al-Majali from its administration said, "We need at least six times the number of the beds we have at the hospital. And with the arrival of patients from North Gaza, we desperately need more, especially in the intensive care unit. There is an acute shortage," he added, "of fuel, surgical equipment, and other medical supplies, such as oxygen cylinders." He said, "Hospitals are protected places during wars, according to all the laws of the world. Israel has breached all the laws and attacks many hospitals in Gaza, particularly the largest hospital of Al-Shifa." Dr. Ibrahim Matar is a cardiologist at Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital. He said, "The number of wounded people inside the hospital is unbelievable. Most of them lie on the floor, and we are not able to care for them properly. We even do ECGs, electrocardiograms, on the floor. Patients are dying slowly. Even people with chronic diseases have run out of their medicines and can't find any more in pharmacies. This is a massive tragedy. With a huge world load of hospitals staff, deciding which cases to prioritize presents major difficulties," he said. "We sometimes have people with chronic diseases that come to the hospital with injuries from the war. They require special treatment. If they are not killed from their wounds, they will be killed from their diseases." Meanwhile, Al Jazeera English wrote, despite growing international pressure for a respite, the Zionist regime is continuing to bombard Gaza's health facilities and residential areas. Israeli regime raids recently maintained the focus on hospitals and civilian neighborhoods in the enclave, a tactic that has only encouraged further calls from around the world for a ceasefire in the besieged Palestinian territory as civilian casualties mount. Mass casualties have been reported following strikes on the Jabalia and Nuseirat refugee camps. The Zionist regime artillery shelling targeted multiple residences in the Shojaiya, Tofah and Daraj neighborhoods in Gaza City. Continuous shooting has been reported at the entrance to Ash-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. At least 26 Palestinians were killed in an attack on the hospital earlier, Al Jazeera journalists reported. The Nasser Medical Complex in Khan Yunis in southern Gaza has been repeatedly targeted over the past 48 hours. An Israeli regime tank shell hit the maternity building, killing a 13-year-old girl named Dina Abu Mohsen and injuring several others, according to Gaza's Ministry of Health. A bomb fell near the building but did not explode, causing a great deal of panic and injuring three people, according to Al Jazeera's Hani Mahmoud, reporting from Rafah. In a statement to Al Jazeera, Gaza Health Ministry spokesperson Ashraf Al-Qudrat denounced the Zionist regime for trying to eliminate the besieged enclave's health sector. He said, "What the occupation is doing is part of the scenario that began in northern Gaza from the Shifa complex," he added. Targeting Nasser Medical Complex is part of the occupation's policy to eliminate the health sector and would bring down the health system in the southern Gaza Strip.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is Gaza Under Attack, coming to you from the British capital, London. My name's Amina Taylor, and I'll be your guide, helping you to unpack some of the biggest talking points emerging from the bombardment of Gaza by Israel and its ongoing raids in the West Bank. But first, let's bring you up to speed on some of the most recent developments. Overnight, there have been scores more Palestinians killed, bringing the total to north of 20,000 Palestinians martyred. At the United Nations, the Security Council adoption of a new UN resolution to get humanitarian aid into Gaza has been delayed. A vote on the Arab-sponsored resolution, first postponed from Monday, has been pushed back until Thursday as Council members continue intense negotiations to avoid another veto by the United States. Meanwhile, the humanitarian crisis deepens with a UNICEF report saying displaced children in southern Gaza are accessing only 1.5 to 2 litres of water a day, well below the requirements for survival. The UN Special Coordinator said the bombardment of Gaza means 2023 ends as one of the deadliest years, with the situation deteriorating on all fronts. The UN is also warning about the risk for escalation in the region, citing the possibility of a miscalculation setting off a wider conflict. In the run-up to Christmas, global charities continue to add their voices in calling for a cessation of violence. Now joining this edition of Gaza Under Attack are in studio a welcome return to Jonathan Chadwick. Jonathan is a theatre director, writer and teacher. He's produced and directed a series of short plays about war, including the UK premiere of Woman in War by the celebrated Iraqi writer and director Jawad al-Asadi. And via Skype, doctor and analyst Ali Husseini joining us from London. Good to see you both. And Jonathan, I remember it was quite a few weeks back where you graced that very sofa and we asked you for your thoughts on how did we manage to have over 10,000 souls taken, and yet here we are with that number doubled. Your reflections?
Well, I mean, one reflects with grief at the loss of life in Gaza at the moment. But if you're asking me whether I'm surprised that that escalation has happened in the number of people killed, I don't think I'm surprised. I think that what was happening then, which was during the truce, that was the last time that we spoke, I think at the end of that truce, when the Israeli, whatever he was, probably a public relations person, told us that the Gaza people were going to receive the mother of all thumpings, I think that it was clear anyway that that Israel was going to start the killing again at a very, very escalated level, and that's exactly what's happened. Nothing that the Americans said about precise targeting has really entered their strategic toolbox, and they've continued their assault on the Gaza people. But of course, and also you're right to mention the West Bank, and perhaps it's also worth mentioning what's happening in the northern frontier of Israel, and also what's happening in the Red Sea area with the
which is one of these fears about this becoming an all-encompassing regional situation.
I think that most of the players that are a part of the axis of resistance don't want to see that escalation. And what I think one's witnessed over this period is, first of all, hard resistance from Hamas on the ground in Gaza. And that's been an important stopping activity for the Israelis. That's driven the Israelis into creating and executing dreadful atrocities in Gaza. And you can see that it's an army that doesn't know who the enemy is. And if you were a military commander and you don't know who the enemy is, then you're in trouble. And I think the Israelis are really deeply in trouble. And that's shown by the slightly frantic nature of the kind of atrocities that they've carried out. I mean, to shoot people waving a white flag,
who are half naked.
Exactly. I mean, this just shows that they have no sense of who they're up against, and that's the reason why they're losing the battle.
Dr. Husseini, I'd just like to bring you in on that similar point about your own reflections, where we are.
As your respected guest in the studio was alluding to, it's becoming clear that it's a losing battle for Israel and its strong army and also strong supporters, mainly because it has lost direction first, and it has been confused so much so that even its own people carrying the white flag so that they can be received by their own army were shot dead on the spot from zero distance, which just suggests that everybody is at a loss at the moment. And as your respected guest was alluding to, it seems to me that this episode is heading towards a major strategic loss to Israel and to the backers of Israel, plus the fact that the international community standoff is not helping the situation, while they should really grasp the opportunity and work towards an immediate ceasefire, plus the fact that it's becoming an growing threat to the international community and to the peace in the world. And also it has made a big reflection on the inefficiency of the United Nations and its various institutions.
Of course, and Dr. Husseini, we're going to touch on that UN position in a moment. But Jonathan, I just wanted to touch on this idea of the bloodless, some have said, about coming out of the Israeli war cabinet, about, you know, perhaps we haven't killed enough, we haven't flattened enough. And I know that Fahima has some material there that really emphasizes some of that. But what do you make of Benjamin Netanyahu's own domestic situation vis-a-vis this confrontation?
He's becoming more unpopular, isn't he, in Israel? I think that's clear, although nothing really is clear in Israel. I think that Israel itself is the most truth-starved people in the world. I don't think they're watching or able to watch or witness what's happening on their borders. And I think that that is, if they did, I think Benjamin Netanyahu would be even more unpopular than he is. I think that what's happening is a deterioration of the basic structure of the Israeli state. And I think that's composed of a number of different elements. One is the divisions that were already there before the conflict started between the people that wanted to kind of maintain some kind of democratic and constitutional order, and the other, the right wing of the Israeli political spectrum, who wanted to see an escalated genocide and an annexation of the occupied territories. But that has got even worse, and those two sides have become attached to different elements in the situation, so that the hostages and their families and the communities that surround them seem to be connected to that constitutionalist position within the Israeli state. Whereas I think that the genocidal kind of movement, which has been where the proponents are the right wing, has also extended itself and got more and more intense.
Well, if not now, when would be their argument about, you know, if you had genocide in mind, this is a perfect time. Yeah. All right, come back to you there. Dr. Husseini, this idea here that the U.S., as Jonathan Chadwick mentioned, are feeling under pressure here, and they're not going into flight mode, they're coming out in fight mode. How are you seeing any potential vote here in the Security Council?
Well, I think the Americans need a position to rescue the embarrassment they have put themselves in cahoot with the Israeli military activities. As my friend Jonathan was saying, they need to do a U-turn, and in a pragmatic way. A week ago, there was this vote in the Security Council, and Britain abstained. It would have been more sensible for the USA administration also to abstain and allow the international community to have the hand to go through a legitimate call for immediate ceasefire and revision of whatever has been done in a drastic and inhumanitarian approach to the situation, and probably think of an alternative approach with the help of the international community to get America and Israel out of this quagmire, at the same time trying to help the Gazan people to continue surviving in that small piece of land which they have been isolated and living in as an open prison for the last 12 plus years.
There have been statements from Human Rights Watch, from Amnesty and so on, about the Israelis using the deprivation of food, water, medicines and so on as a weapon. Surely that can't be great for PR.
It's not great for PR, of course it isn't, but the Israelis have openly avowed a policy which they first, I think, put into practice in an ostentatious way in the Dahia suburb of Beirut, when they thought that they would attack that part of Beirut because they felt that that was where Hezbollah were kind of stationing themselves. And they decided that they would practice a policy of not making any distinction between civilians and combatants. And that policy, which is Eisenkot, was the Israeli general in charge of that operation, that policy is now a load on the Israelis, because having thought that that was a good idea, they now are in the situation where they can't move through human blood. They're up to their ears in it. and they can't move and they don't know which way to turn. And I think we're witnessing a complete failure of that policy in terms of what the Israelis are doing. The Americans have said, Lloyd Austin himself has said, look, you may find a strategic defeat happening because of the failure of this of that policy. This is the man that led the American part in the retaking of Mosul from ISIL in Iraq. I mean, he was saying this might be a strategic problem for you. And it's also, the other thing that he let slip the other day is, we don't want Hamas to win. And you suddenly are faced with the prospect of what that winning might involve. I think it was a slip of the tongue.
And also, isn't that just the code word for the resistance? Like, how do you crush the resistance from a people who've already lost so much? I want you to mull on that while we go here, because the special coordinator for the Middle East peace process, Tor Wennesland, said the bombardment of Gaza had made this the deadliest year in the history of the conflict. Addressing the UN, the special coordinator said he's also deeply concerned by escalating tensions in the occupied West Bank, including in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Let's hear some more of what he had to say.
The magnitude of hostilities between Israel and Hamas and the scope of death and destruction in Gaza have been unprecedented and unbearable to witness. I unequivocally condemn the killing of civilians in Gaza, including women and children. I mourn the loss of every civilian, including 131 UN colleagues, the single largest loss of life in the history of the organization. I'm also deeply concerned by escalating tensions in the occupied West Bank, including East Jerusalem. Intensified armed exchanges between Palestinians and Israeli security forces, predominantly in the context of Israeli operations, have led to exceedingly high levels of fatalities and arrests. I reiterate that security forces must exercise maximum restraints and use lethal force only when it's strictly unavoidable to protect life. I am appalled by the numerous instances of officials glorifying violence, encouraging the killing of civilians. Such rhetoric is abhorrent and must be clearly rejected by leaders on all sides. Leaders have an obligation to clearly and explicitly condemn acts of terror and violence directed against the civilians.
You're still with me. This is Gaza Under Attack. And my guests, Jonathan Chadwick and Dr. Ali Husseini, have remained put, thank goodness. We just saw a little bit there, Jonathan, about advocacy in places that perhaps didn't feel they had that kind of agency. Your reaction, first of all, to the boycott movement, but also this idea that Malaysia is saying, listen, your ships and your cargo can't dock here. We won't intervene in other ways, but right now we're hitting you in the pockets.
Yeah, no, it's a very, very, very significant movement. And actually, I only learnt about this earlier today, and I'm grateful to the programme for putting it in front of me. And I think that it's unsurprising that these countries and these societies, they know what colonialism is, they know what imperialism is, and that certainly is shared between the Malaysians and the Yemenis. I mean, you have to consider that during the 50s and 60s, both these places were fighting against British imperialism. They were fighting the last remnants of British imperialism. And they share that history, and they presumably share an identification with the people struggling for its liberation in the Palestinian people. And it's not, I think, on the one hand, it's a good movement to see happening. You think that commercial imperatives are going to rule the world forever, but what actually is beginning to appear is moral principled stands by governments and certainly by peoples throughout the world in favour of the oppressed of Palestine. And I think that that's to be welcomed. And I think that part of it must be accredited to the control and dignity that the Axis of Resistance have deployed in the struggle, to the Ansarullah in Yemen being so firm in its rejection of any kind of scare tactics by the Americans or the other powers that surround them. They themselves know about the kind of bombardment that the Palestinians are undergoing, because they had it at the hands of the Saudis, and the Saudis were using the same weapons that the Israelis are using, backed by the same Western powers.
So they understand all too well.
They understand all too well.
Indeed, and I just want to bring you back in, Dr. Husseini, because this is all made possible because there has been a public awakening. How are you seeing it?
I think what Western politicians are missing out here is that the fact that this process of young people awakening throughout the world, mainly in the Western capitals, is going to backfire greatly on how they can conclude this episode in Gaza and in the region. Not only that, as you said, like people like Yemen, which have been under war, sanctions, and deprivation and famine for 7 years, suddenly wake up and say, any shipment of weapons or goods or oil to the Israeli aggression is going to be stopped to go through the Red Sea, despite the limited resources. So these people have woken up to feel that this colonial control of the world politics can be challenged. And this itself is a demonstration of the weakness of the Western superpowers, if you like, as a whole. And that subsequently will push these countries who have got all the natural minerals and the gas the world needs in the future, in the near future, is going to be shifted or forced towards China, Russia, and other third world countries who are emerging as local superpowers in their own right. And obviously that will gradually make the imperialist or colonialist supremacy and hegemony much weaker, and probably sign the early failure of these policies if the current leaders continue to believe they can continue dominating the world politics and dictating the international law and order, which is beginning to be seen as think of the past, as what's happening in Malaysia, in Asia, in Yemen, and around in the Middle East is demonstrating.
Dr. Al Husseini, I just want you to put your medical hat on for a second. Some of what we just saw in terms of what this means for patients and healthcare workers under these conditions, may I have a quick comment on that from you, sir?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Nobody could have imagined in this day and age there would be doctors operating in the way they were operating without any light or any sanitation, as Fahima was saying, and the life of these injured people for any reason under great danger, and to allow them to die in front of their doctors and nurses who are trying their best, including risking their lives to save them. And it's really something that goes against all the Geneva Conventions in war situations. And obviously it's a shame on the humanity to remain silent, to allow such situations to happen or even to prevail, unfortunately.
Indeed. Sometimes words fail us when we're trying, Jonathan Chadwick, to just really paint a picture for the audience there, as if some of these images were not enough. But I'd like to bring in a slightly different aspect to this. Your background is in the arts, and we were remiss not to talk about some of the amazing collaborations you've had with Palestinian artists and theatre groups inside Gaza, and how perhaps we might not just be mourning the loss of some of those artists, but in fact the loss of the industry in general.
We're still in touch with our partners in Gaza. I heard from them this morning, which is good. They're alive, and I wouldn't know whether they're well, but they're certainly alive. Since the escalation of the genocide in Gaza, we've received messages from Hossam Madun, we've received maybe 30 messages that are accounts of what he's going through and what he's been through in the evacuation from the north, his experiences in Nusayrat refugee camp, his contact with his friends, his helping at the local medical facilities, his wife's work for an NGO there, his relationship with his families, his very, very sick mother and his coping with that, his reactions to the other events that are happening around him. And we've been able to put on three readings of these accounts at a small art gallery in North London. And we've now created a film of those readings, which we're going to make as an installation in that gallery. But we've collected around ourselves a group of extremely talented and wonderful artists. And they put on an event the night before last at the Arcola Theatre in Hackney, where they brought together a lot of people from accounts from Jenin, from different sections of the Palestinian population, doing readings and then engaging in a kind of discussion.
To keep it live, to keep it live, now.
Keep in contact. Look at the quality of the writing that Hossam has managed to achieve, the descriptions that he's managed to make, and ask people to listen to them being read by other people and to just kind of ponder and try to take in what's happening. So we're going to, of course, that's mainly the work that I'm doing.
So resistance in a different form, Jonathan. We just have time for maybe one last thought here about the end game in this. We spoke last, the toll has doubled. We're thinking ceasefire, but perhaps not right now. Your final thoughts?
What do I think is going to happen?
In 30 seconds.
It's very, very dangerous in 30 seconds to even... Well, I think that what we'll see is we'll see eventually the end of the Zionist entity in that part of the world. And the big question is, can there be an Israel without Zionism? Can we envisage the people there living in peace with each other? The end game, the end vision must be of peace, democracy and justice. And I think that's what's in everybody's hearts. And it's just the embargo on tenderness and the embargo on human feelings that the Israeli population undergo and carry out that we've seen evidence of earlier in the programme.
Indeed, those beautiful thoughts, Jonathan, is where we'll have to leave it and wrap for this show. My many thanks to the guests for their contributions. Gaza Under Attack will be back with more. Until then, continue to keep Palestine in your hearts.
In the limelight.
World Health Organization has warned that lethal combination of hunger and disease will lead to more deaths in the Gaza Strip. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of World Health Organization wrote, "Hunger is ravaging Gaza, and this is expected to increase illness across the strip, most acutely among children, pregnant and breastfeeding women and older people. In new estimates released recently, the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, IPC Global Partnership, which includes WHO, said Gaza is facing catastrophic levels of food insecurity, with the risk of famine increasing each day. An unprecedented 93% of the population in Gaza is facing crisis levels of hunger, with insufficient food and high levels of malnutrition. At least one in four households are facing catastrophic conditions, experiencing an extreme lack of food and starvation and having resorted to selling off their possessions and other extreme measures to afford a simple meal. Starvation, destitution, and death are evident. On recent missions to North Gaza, WHO staff say that every single person they spoke to in Gaza is hungry. Wherever they went, including hospitals and emergency wards, people asked them for food. They said, "We move around Gaza delivering medical supplies and people rush to our trucks hoping it's food," calling it an indicator of the desperation. Gaza is already experiencing soaring rates of infectious diseases. Over 100,000 cases of diarrhea have been reported since mid-October. Half of these are among young children under the age of 5 years, case numbers that are 25 times what was reported before the conflict. Over 150,000 cases of upper respiratory infection and numerous cases of meningitis, skin rashes, scabies, lice, and chickenpox have been reported. Hepatitis is also suspected, as many people present with the telltale signs of jaundice. While a healthy body can more easily fight off these diseases, a wasted and weakened body will struggle. Hunger weakens the body's defenses and opens the door to disease. Malnutrition increases the risk of children dying from illnesses like diarrhea, pneumonia, and measles, especially in a setting where they lack access to life-saving health services. Even if the child survives, wasting can have lifelong impacts as it stunts growth and impairs cognitive development.